Hello, and welcome to IRI Growth Insights, featuring IRI thought leaders, industry partners, and guests. For more than 40 years, IRI has been known for its invaluable data, but these podcasts delve into the insights the data reveal to fuel market disruption and market growth for those in the CPG, retail, healthcare, and media markets. I'm your host, Joan Driggs, coming to you from my home in the greater Chicago area. In this special episode of IRI Growth Insights, recorded on April 20th, 2020, we're discussing COVID-19 and its impact on the CPG and retail industries. For daily updates on consumer reaction, real-time data on product categories, as well as insights and implications to the CPG retail industry, I encourage you to visit iriworldwide.com to see the IRI COVID-19 dashboard, powered by IRI Liquid Data. At the same location, you'll find a number of COVID-19 reports that provide valuable information across countries, categories, and channels. Hello, and welcome back to IRI Growth Insights. Today, I'm joined by my colleague, Livio Martucci, Vice President of the Analytics and Shopper Behavior Insights Team, in Milan, Italy. Livio has been with IRI for 24 years, and we decided he is the best person to go to learn lessons of COVID-19 for CPG retail. Welcome, Livio.
How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for taking some time to speak with us today. You know, we have been covering, IRI has been covering COVID-19 pretty much since the outbreak, and we have looked to past recessions, we have looked to crises like hurricanes, but really we completely understand that there is nothing like this has ever happened before. So the best that we can do now, it's not necessarily a good thing, but we can look to Italy because Italy is a few weeks ahead of the U.S. So we're turning to you, Livio, to kind of help us make some sense out of where we are in the pandemic, and what we have to look forward to.
Great. So we are at the beginning of the declining curve of the COVID spread. So we are looking forward to exit again from our houses, having a completely locked down since 11th of March. And so here where we are. And in terms of fast-moving consumer goods markets, we have seen the first four weeks, a strong growth of the sales of the stores, clearly because all the families were a little bit in panic due to the COVID. And so the objective was to get our pantry full. So typically, the family bought essential products like milk, pasta sauce, canned tuna, so all these basic products. But also long-term protein like canned or dried legumes, just make an example, or canned meat, cheese, and all this kind of product from the food side. The other really incredible growth we have seen in the first 5 weeks has been about products regarding disinfection or more generally cleaning. So alcohol, gloves, products in those kind of direction.
Yeah, we in the U.S., again, we are a few weeks behind you, but we have experienced very similar things. Our peak shopping day was actually Friday, March 13th. So how does that compare to when Italy really hit the peak of their panic shopping?
The peak has been the declaration of lockdown. So it was at the third week of the COVID era, let's say. So we got some sales peak during the weekend of plus 100% of sales, which benchmarking with the US are not so high. that has been a growth that has been that has lasted four consecutive weeks. So really, the panic phase, we can say, has lasted for 4 weeks.
Oh,
okay. Then at the 50 weeks, the growth has been still high, but started declining.
Right, but it's still, I would imagine it's still higher than pre-COVID-19 periods, correct?
Absolutely, yes. So today, the week five was a plus 5% in sales. And now recovering, growing at 1% following week, and then at 5%. So we are establishing around 5%, and we'll see.
You know, you mentioned that people were really stocking up. Were there particular stores that people were going to? Were they going to like large hypermarkets? Were they shopping and cleaning the shelves of their local stores? Tell us about that.
That's a great question, because the behavior, the purchasing behavior has changed dramatically. So first thing is that a big store like hypermarket closed down during the weekend.
They closed the big stores on the weekends?
During the weekends, because in the big mall, there was more probability to have too many people to close. So they closed during the weekend. Most of them has been closed. And that's the reason why the sales of this channel is declining. And so as a consequence, the consumer, the shopper are going to supermarkets. Just to give you an idea, supermarkets are still growing around 20% in the last weeks. In terms of value sales, but even more are growing the small cell service, the small supermarkets close to your house, which in Italy is a huge number, declining in terms of sales before COVID, and now growing at 40%, 40 is an incredible number. Mm-hmm. The reason why is because it's not possible to go too far from your house to buy food. Secondly, because those stores close to your house are small, they are not crowded. It's not allowed to be crowded in store, but especially the queue is not long outside the store. Why in the big supermarkets or hypermarket, you can queue for 1 hour or 2 hours before entering.
Wow.
So this is changing completely the landscape of the retailer landscape during this period. And clearly the question is what will happen in the next months. Is going to continue or not? The big point here is the more the level of alert will be high, the more the people will avoid crowded places like big hypermarkets.
But are those smaller stores able to restock or keep stock with the people shopping? I would imagine that it would be more difficult to continually restock those small stores because they are all over.
There is a risk there, but on the other hand, we have seen out of stock also in the big hypermarkets due to the level of daily sales. They were not able to cope with to keep the products on the shelf for all day long. So it's a risk that we have on both sides, a big store and a small store. The other aspect is that in Italy, we have 30,000 stores, small stores, which is a big number for Italy. So if you see a lot of queue in a small store on the right side of your house, you have another on the left side.
Okay, that's nice. That's nice. Lots of choices. Okay.
And the other aspect I would like to add is that another huge change in the shopper behavior is that the online purchase. Online purchase in Italy, it was not so high. So it's 1% today, before today, so before the COVID, and now has doubled its weight. So the growth is 100%. In the last week, has reached 140%. So it's growing more and more.
So were retailers, I know that in the U.S., there were some retailers that had already invested into the infrastructure for, say, click and collect. So those retailers are doing very well. How well prepared were Italian retailers to, you know, ramp up that e-commerce to that degree?
Well, some retailers were already structured and ready, especially for home delivery. Other were less prepared, but one of the aspects quick reaction we have seen is more on the side of the click and collect done at store level. So using the staff working on the cash barrier has been moved to prepare trolley for click and collect. It was very quick action that has been done, rather than investing in home delivery. So click and collect grow to around 300-400%, just to give an idea. And home delivery growth around 100%.
That is
incredible. Is incredible?
Yeah. You must anticipate, or I'm going to ask you, I shouldn't be putting words in your mouth. do you anticipate that once this is over, that's going to be one of the legacies that people stick with click and collect?
That's the big question we are asking in those days. We are sure that the online will be a critical success factor for retailers from now on. Just to give an idea, that's a couple of considerations. First, buying online is the most safest way. The most safe way to buy foods and fast moving consumer products.
Is that because people, like, there's fewer people touching the food, or why is that safer?
Because people do not want to go out from home today, mm-hmm. but tomorrow we will try to avoid as much as possible crowded places like a store or a big store. So having product at home is the best way. Click and collect is another good option. And just to give you an idea how big and important is that, we see that some retailer may have lost customer because the delivery time today for home delivery or click and collect is 1 week or 2 weeks. So it's a very long time. Why, on average, you get products in 24 hours. Right. So clearly, the demand is going to other stores. On the other side, we have seen also that other kind of outlet, like butchery or bakery or pastry shops, or even bar and restaurant, are delivering at home their products. They're doing a sort of neighborhood home delivery.
Wow. You know what? I have to admire the ability of these smaller businesses to, you know, completely turn their business model around and be able to do that. That's not easy.
Exactly. They have been very, very quick. And most of our restaurants are now thinking we need to continue home delivery or at least improve takeaway from our restaurants, because they know they are not to be crowded for a long time.
Right. So, is it how much of the food dollar was spent outside of the home pre-COVID in Italy?
35% of the expenditure is Ottawa. So just to, I made an estimation that in the last 2 months, the auto consumption has lost 4 billion euros. And part of those, most 80% of this meal and breakfast served at Autobahn has been clearly diverted in home consumption. And this is, has an impact on sales growth on supermarkets and hypermarkets in around 10-15% of growth. So it's a huge opportunity on one side and an incredible, you know, risk on the other.
Yeah. We so here in the US, 50% of the food dollar was spent outside of the home. But we really anticipate that after COVID recedes, that people will still be spending most of their food dollar at with in-home consumption. So even if restaurants are able to open back up again, it's going to be kind of a slow transition. And I'm wondering what you anticipate for Italy. Is it similar?
It will be similar, absolutely, yes. And this has a huge impact. Can you imagine in terms, for example, what kind of, you know, pack format should be increased on the shelves of the supermarkets? Clearly, the big format will find much more demand than 1 month ago, 2 months ago, because if you eat more frequently at home, you need a bigger pack.
Mm. But again, you know, you're talking about bigger pack sizes and things, but, you know, this COVID-19 is taking a tremendous economic toll as well. You know, that people are losing their jobs, people are furloughed or laid off, even if it's temporarily. That has to really hurt people and their ability to buy big packs of food.
Yeah, that's a good point. In fact, as it happens in every recessions in the past, we believe that we happen again when change. So there will be a polarization of the behavior. Mm-hmm. So the people that have, you know, he has his income, available income, let's say steady, so they have not lost the job or reduced the income, they will be able to buy, you know, products also with added value there. And maybe they will buy online. Other people that have, you know, less rich people will look for value. So they will go to discount. They will look for private label that, in fact, is growing very fast in the last weeks. They will look for price promotions. And under this point, so also the big pack, if there is a value there, there also could be a leverage for these kind of segments.
Got it. You know, one of the things that I want to talk about is how things are going with fresh foods. You know, you mentioned that some things like bakeries and butchers were delivering to neighborhoods, which is really, you know, ingenious. Let's talk about now that people have done a lot of their pantry stocking, they have, you know, you mentioned that they were buying a lot of like legumes and dried foods that could last a long time in the pantry. What's happening with fresh purchases, like fresh produce, you know, again, maybe meat or dairy products at the store? How does that look, particularly with, you know, you mentioned the huge jump in e-commerce. What's fresh's role there?
Well, in those days, in those weeks, the fresh products has grown as well. Just to give you an idea, they grow 11%, while durable products grow to 26%. So clearly, they grew less, but they grew much more than 1 year ago. So because of the consumption has grown so much that all the category, most of all the category grow in the last weeks. And fresh products are delivered also through the online purchase in Italy, whatever it is. So if home delivery or click and collect, the fresh products are available. So what we see until today that has declined the growth is instant food, instant fresh food. So ready-to-eat products, ready-to-eat dish or lunch, which is an interesting market in Italy. So has grown very, very low. Mm-hmm. Despite it was an increasing trend, an increasing market until 2 months ago.
Are those products that had been made in the store ready to eat, or that they had been packaged ready to eat?
Both. There are packaged from the manufacturer, packaged in the store. So both of our solutions.
Yeah, we have seen in the U.S. what we would consider the service deli, which is where you can buy like luncheon meats. You could buy some fresh prepared foods. That too has pretty much, that's really suffered a good bit. But the other fresh departments, I guess, are mirroring yours. What we haven't seen as much, it's just starting, is the increase in private label products. You mentioned that was private label brands were really doing well, and we're just starting to see that inch up here in the U.S.
We saw in the second part of the emergency phase is the growth. So just to give you an idea, private label in Italy grows every year 0.7 in terms of market share versus the manufacturer brand. And in the last 3 weeks, it grew about 2.5 market share. So there's been an acceleration in the last 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And from our perspective, it is also due to the fact that couple of aspects. One is private label is managing very well the fresh product supply chain. And the other is that clearly after four weeks at home, there is some issue in terms of available income and people are looking for value in the store.
Right. And, I think Europe is far more advanced in private label than the U.S., but again, there are some retailers here who have done a very good job of building up their portfolio where they have different tiers in quality. So some very premium products. So I do anticipate it's going to be really good for private label here as well. Mm-hmm. We've talked about some pretty dire things here. I mean, I would like to talk a little bit about any silver linings, how people are staying upbeat, products that maybe are selling well. Like I know in the U.S., beverage alcohol is selling pretty well. And I seem to recall that champagne was selling fairly well at the outset of COVID-19 in Italy. But what do you anticipate? Like what are people buying to make themselves happy?
Wine and beer are the big markets here. They grew, but not so much. All the alcohol, so the super alcoholics, didn't grow at all. The area where the people really say get some pleasure, some indulgence, was in a typical Italian way. So being at home, people start cooking very well. And so they prepare pizza, homemade pasta, cookies, pastry, and things like that. In fact, we saw a huge increase of products like yeast, flour, all the products that you need when you want to prepare something at home, like eggs or butter, all these kind of products grew a lot. So Italian chefs were very active at home.
I would say if I had to be stuck at home, and I'm doing just fine, but it would be great to be stuck at home in Italy with all that amazing, all those amazing home cooked gourmet foods. So can you give us, you know, you're in Italy, things, the curve seems to have flattened, and you're maybe coming down a bit. Tell us a little bit about what you anticipate is going to be some permanent changes occurring in CPG retail in Italy, because we're taking our lessons from you.
I would say that three things will happen. Is one is the due to the recessions, economic recession, there will be the trading down driven by the shoppers. That means they will try to put on their trolley products with a lower price, level of price. So that means that you can go to a discount, choose a private label. The other aspect is that the level of attention to hygiene and health will be very important. So probably will be very important to have a clean shop, to have a consumer might have a preference to package products like versus non-packaged products, and the development of pharmacies inside the store could be an opportunity for retailer. The other aspect is about the social distance that is very likely to last for a while. That means, as I mentioned, that store of a medium small size will be privileged for the most affluent segments, or the online, or even the store that will their opening hours will be much longer, if not 24 hours on 70 days, in order to dilute the queue outside the store.
Oh, that's yeah, because here in the U.S., we've actually been keeping shorter hours, closing in the evening so that they can clean and then have like a dedicated time in the morning for senior citizens or disabled people.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Elderly here in Italy at the moment are served mainly through home delivery by the neighbor's shop.
Nice. That's nice. A good sense of community there.
And the other aspect that are maybe other new kind of store might develop home delivery.
Okay. So what,
like this cup.
Right. So really, so in kind of wrapping up our time today, what I've heard, some really interesting developments that people are shopping less at the big hypermarkets and shopping more at their like smaller local stores, that across the board, shopping online, e-commerce is really up, particularly with click and collect, and that retailers in Italy were really able to move fast to accommodate the fulfillment of those orders. However, that the home delivery is a challenge because it's taking up to about a week to receive groceries when ordered for delivery. And then as we kind of come out of this, you know, you really do see a bigger opportunity for private label, especially because we're going to be coming out in a recession. And I think the U.S. is very much aligned with that as well. I liked what you said about, you know, hygiene and personal health being so much more important coming out of this, that people are so much more aware, and that there is probably a bigger opportunity for pharmacies to be in store, and that we will continue to social distance for a while. And I think one big difference that I heard just at the end is that you anticipate that stores will remain open longer to accommodate more people coming in, rather than, you know, shorter hours where people might be forced into closer contact. So with that, Livio, I want to say thank you so much for your time. I hope that you and yours stay healthy, And I'll look forward to talking with you again when this recedes further and we have some new CPG trends to talk about.
Okay. Thank you. And okay. Stay out.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Please visit IRIWorldwide.com to view the IRI COVID-19 dashboard and insights portal, where you'll have access to daily updates, in-depth reports, as well as observations and implications for the CPG retail industry. Please become a subscriber of IRI Growth Insights and let us know what you want to learn more about. We'll serve it up in a future IRI Growth Insights episode. Look for us wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to review IRI Growth Insights. Also, visit us on the web at IRIWorldwide.com and connect with us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.